everyone, and welcome back to the Adulting is Easy podcast, where we make adulting easier by making money easier. This is your host, Lauren, and I'm joined today by Allie Danzinger. In 2023, Allie became Senior VP and GM of Ascent Up, whose mission is to be the undisputed leader in driving student outcomes when they acquired her company, Ampersand. Allie's passion lies in helping young professionals from the classroom to their careers as they build confidence, secure jobs with livable salaries, and become successful members of the workforce. Thanks for joining me, Allie.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here and talk with you.
Yeah, I'm excited too. And our goal for today, as it always is to make adulting easier for listeners by discussing a personal finance topic, since managing money is a huge part of adulting. So today we're going to talk about young adults paying for college and entering the workforce. But before we jump into that, can you just talk a little bit about how you got into this space and why you're passionate about it?
Absolutely. So I started my career in marketing and public relations. I started a PR agency at the young age of 23 years old, right out of college. And I spent the next 15 years growing that company by hiring entry-level employees. I like to say that I was young because it makes sense. I just started off, I didn't feel comfortable hiring people much older than me. And then that just became part of our company culture. So over the years, I hired about 250 interns and 300 entry-level employees right out of college. And whether they came from high school, community college, or Harvard, I still noticed the same trends and frustrations as a small business owner, that these young professionals did not know how to send a calendar invite, how to talk to managers, how to attend a meeting, how to ask for vacation the right way. So all of these like very important, durable skills that we just kind of like learn by doing and by seeing, I was having to spend a lot of time teaching and putting true training around. I sold that company in 2018 and stayed on board running all of our sales and growth. And then when COVID hit, because I've always recruited from all the colleges, a bunch of my professor friends were reaching out to me saying, can you talk to my students? They are either dropping out of school or they've lost their internships, or now they don't know how to go get a job because there's less jobs on the market that summer of 2020. So I felt like a broken record just saying the same thing over and over again. Like I blocked off my Fridays just to mentor a bunch of young professionals, thought about starting a podcast to, scale the message, kind of like what you're doing here. Thought about writing a book. Like I just didn't know. I knew I had all of this knowledge from coaching and mentoring so many young professionals and didn't know what to do with it. And so ultimately what I did is I got on Zoom with 10 young professionals and coached them through that transition of their life. I helped them all get internships. And then I was actually talking to their managers on a weekly basis to uncover like what else do they need to know? How are they doing? How was this week's lesson helpful? And I spent 4 hours a week with them in a group setting to just coach them and teach them all the things that nobody was teaching them, whether that was their professors, their bosses, or their family and community. And after that summer cohort, I mean, I don't come from education, so I didn't really know what I was doing or know the right language for it, but 7 out of 10 of them got full-time job offers, and all 10 business owners said, I don't know what you just did, but these are the best interns I've ever had in my life. And so that went on to start my company, Ampersand. We then scaled to 30 young professionals in the spring of 21, then 150 young professionals through a cohort that summer, and then it just kept growing from there to then we ultimately trained over 7,000 young professionals and built a software to actually help them learn these durable skills through checklists and templates and short videos and ways that I want to consume information and that you would want to consume information, but more importantly, the way that a 20-year-old wants to consume that type of information. Fast forward, we were really growing fast and doing awesome and met Ascent Funding, which is a super innovative student lender. They have always had the mission to do more than just help students pay for college, but also to help them plan, pay, and succeed, both during school and after. And so again, fast forward, I could do a whole nother podcast around the stories that went into that. But they acquired my company and I came on board in 2023 to help them lead this succeed part of the business. Our software, every borrower goes through part of the training and has access to the training so that they can learn the right skills and confidence that they need to succeed both in school, financially, and then as they enter the workforce into their career. And so that's how I got here. And I'm super passionate about it.
Yeah, no, I can definitely tell. So you didn't notice as these students you were hiring, you know, not students, I guess, you're hiring these young professionals. You didn't notice any differences across schools. Did you notice any differences from when you started till 15 years later? Did you notice any differences across time? I'm just curious.
So yes and no. First off, between schools, my employees would make fun of me because I never knew what school people went to or even if they graduated. A lot of times people hadn't graduated and I had no idea because it just, for me personally as an employer, it just wasn't important. I was hiring for, do they have the passion to learn the skills? They're young, you know, like who cares? You don't know anything. And so as long as they came to work like excited and wanting to learn and with that growth mentality, I knew that I could teach them anything. The right people are willing to, and not just willing to, but excited to grow and learn and develop. And so definitely not between schools. And that's why I truly just didn't care where they came from. My clients sometimes did, but I would have to coach them through like, nope, it does. They could be, I started this company when I was 23. They could be 19. They could be 45. They could be 65. As long as they can deliver for our clients, we're a service-based business. Like, who cares? Again, from my perspective. And then over the years, certainly, like there were different, and I've done tons of research into different generations and how different generations have adapted to the workplace, or the workplace has adapted to the generations. The biggest trend I'll say is when I started that company in 2009. The trends of the workforce were all about like, how do we keep people in the office as much as possible? And I did all the things that everyone did of like beer 30 on Fridays and ping pong tables and, you know, benefits with dry cleaning and things like that, again, to keep people in. And then as time progressed, I'm guessing, but it was around like 2016 or so, all of a sudden my employees like didn't want to hang out with us anymore. And they were doing a lot more out of the office, certainly as the years, but you know, leading up to 2020, it was just so different to get them to engage in happy hours and in the office, and more of the benefits had to transition to flexible work time, workspace, again, before 2020. I was really seeing that progression leading up to that and having to change the schedules and whatnot of the office.
Interesting. That makes sense. I am millennial. My sister's Gen Z. She's 13 years younger than me. And so I would have sort of been the type that you would have hired at the beginning, and she would be the type that's, you know, yeah, heading into the workforce right about now, actually. But so that's why I was asking.
No, and my sister and I are 4 years apart, both millennials, but I'm on the older side of the millennial where I didn't have a cell phone in high school. You know, we were like on AIM talking to our friends and she was texting, and that really even today has trend, like we have different communication styles, and I always use us as examples because it's so interesting to see. You must really see a huge difference.
It's wild. And she calls me a boomer sometimes, and I have to remind her that, like, no, that's our parents. But so these kids that are, it's interesting your perspective, because you're like observing them and studying them kind of at the same time as you're like hiring them and they're working for you. But I was wondering, did any of them, what was their baseline from like a personal finance perspective? Like, what did they No, as they were heading into the workforce? Could you tell?
You mean like, yeah, in my previous world?
As you were during that hiring period. I'll get to the future, but during that hiring period,
they were, you know, as I reflect back, they didn't negotiate their job offers. It was their first job offer out of school. They should have. I every single time assumed, like, you know, that they're going to ask for more and you offer less and you budget for more. And that's how most employers are doing that game and dance. Very rarely did they negotiate up. Very rarely did they ask a lot of questions about the benefits being offered to them. And I had to teach them. Again, I knew that I was there, oftentimes their first real job. And so we did a different kind of onboarding to explain like how to take advantage of their 401k and how to take advantage of the health insurance and all that. A lot of times they were maybe still on their parents or something. And we explained like the benefits of that, as well as like we had some tuition reimbursement and professional development growth, not paying back loans or anything, but for additional growth that they really rarely took advantage of. And again, this is to my previous point of why we kept kind of changing the benefits that were offered to employees based off of what their needs are. You can't just, you know, for 14 years have like one benefits package and assume that that will always work as the workforce changes. So I had to really lean into the things that they knew and cared about. And yeah, they didn't care as much about their salary, the financial side of it, as much as they cared about more of the flexibility and some of those types of quote unquote fun benefits or things that you can actually take advantage of in the moment versus longer term savings.
Did most of them sign up for the 401k and contribute?
No.
I would not at all.
Yeah, not at all. I had a lot of people. I mean, I'd have like probably 60, 70% of people wouldn't contribute to it.
Do you know if they had
actually like had someone from UBS come in and explain compounding interest and the benefits of doing it now because they just didn't know. And when we explained that, I remember people's eyes opening of like, what? This, not understanding how that works.
Did most of them have student loans that you're aware of? I'm wondering like, okay, they were like, no, I'm not going to, I have all this other stuff I need to take care of. I can't save right now. I was wondering if that was what was going on.
I'm sure, I'll be honest, as I've reflected over it and over the years, as I've now gotten into this space, it just wasn't something I was asking them about. So I really don't know. I wasn't educated enough of how big of a massive problem it is. It wasn't in the news as much then as it is today. And so we just really weren't talking about it. Had I known, I'm sure, again, to the point conversation of like benefits and ways we would have talked about different things, I probably would have done maybe some things differently, but it just, I really don't know. And maybe that is a lesson learned to employees and young professionals of how to have that conversation with their employers, that their employers understand that this is something that they are struggling with and working through.
Because I think there is an option for benefits where you can help people pay back student loans, right? Isn't that something
Absolutely.
That people offer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a beautiful benefit when that's something that employers can do and something that we do work with employers sometimes to actually help structure how they can help as a retention or recruitment tool, even like, you know, sophomores or juniors in college that you know you want to bring onto your team, how you can structure the agreement that you'll help them with their loans.
Yeah, that's huge. So you mentioned when you were hiring, you didn't really care if they graduated, right? Mm-hmm. So that begs the question, like, should people go to college?
Oh, that is a humongous question to unpack. And it's very, very hard to say. And it's something that is specific to every individual and also every career path. I was in a creative service-based business that I went to school for public relations and everything I learned in my internships. I did not, sorry to my professors if anyone's listening, but you know, I got the most benefit out of the experience. There's other fields where, of course, you have to learn things in school and on-the-job work is just not going to be sufficient enough. And there's benefits to college also outside of the education to the learning the independence and building a community and all of that. So there's definitely benefits to school. That said, it's not right for everyone and it's not right for everyone right out of high school. And it doesn't work necessarily for everyone with the amount of debt that you might accumulate. And then the ROI to that of the job that you'll be able to get after immediately after college or even for the next 10 years after college. And so I love that people are questioning it. I love that people are starting to now think about it from a totally different perspective. And also that there's so many other options with boot camps and various career education pathways that are now more accessible and respected in the US than they have been historically. And employers, unlike, again, like people were making fun of me because I never knew where people graduated from or if they graduated. But I think that's becoming more of the norm now where employers are hiring direct from boot camps or directly from other learning institutions where they know that the young professionals have the skills that are actually necessary to start the job, but not necessarily a traditional 4-year degree path. But it depends because like there some I was at an event last night talking to people from law firms and accounting firms and that they're not there yet. Right.
Sure.
But who knows, like over in the next 10, 15 years, we could be having a totally different conversation as AI is becoming more and more the future. There are certain skills that we learn in school that AI will replace. And schools are going to have to catch up and learn how to teach the skills that we actually need to learn with AI at our fingertips, like the critical thinking skills, the, as I mentioned, like the independence, the how to actually discern, like what to do with this knowledge to be successful. And until it, hopefully schools will be able to catch up with that. I'm sure they will. But right now, that begs the question.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, critical thinking. It's hard to teach. And I think schools, they will catch up, but I think they'll catch up a little late, probably, right?
Yeah.
So once we decide whether we're going to go to college or not, like we have to think about, and this is hard to ask 17, 18-year-olds to do, but like how are you they paying for it? And how are kids, like what are kids doing right now to go through school? How are they paying for these things?
Well, there are a lot of options now, which is great. So first off, when you're thinking about how to pay for school, I like to even go one step back to the what is the ROI of the school that you're going to? Yes, you've chosen your dream school, and congratulations for getting in. But is the salary that you will actually be able to make from the degree that you've chosen, from the school that you've chosen, is the degree that you've chosen in the school that you've chosen enough to actually counterbalance and benefit the cost of that education? Because schools are incredibly expensive. And so it is something to think about what that ROI is. And are you getting the real value proposition from that school? So we have a calculator on our website that works, like actually is how we then determine how much money we will give our students that are looking. And then we make that information public so that you can make the decision for yourself of what we think based off of 30 years of data, what we think your salary will be post-graduation in a normal market conditions. So thinking that through, we call it a Bright Futures Engine, thinking that through when you're making the important college decision is incredibly important. Then when it comes to paying for school, how are people doing it? So first off, there's federal money. There's been a lot of conversation and a lot of issues with the FAFSA this year, the FAFSA application, which I can dive into, but that's definitely first step, filling that FAFSA out. It's confusing. It's hard. We've got tons of resources on our website to help students and parents through that, but absolutely fill it out, see how much you can get, and get as much as you can. Then when that does, when and if that doesn't cover everything, there's scholarships. There's so many scholarships out there that actually don't even ever get used because students don't think that they can qualify for it. What's amazing is a lot of people spend time on scholarships in their high school senior year as an incoming freshman. They get their money that helps with their freshman year, but then the drop-off rate for scholarship applications, your sophomore, junior, and senior year goes down significantly because people don't really realize that they can get it after their freshman year. So absolutely max out as many scholarships as you can find and go to, you know, the most obscure places you can think of. There's some really great resources out there that'll help you find scholarships too and apply for them. Ascent Funding, we give away $1,000 a week all through the summer. We've given away hundreds of thousands of scholarships, no essay scholarships. They're very easy. So go to our website and fill that out, or I'll, you know, drop the link for you, Lauren. But we love helping students in any way possible to get as much free money as possible. Then there's work study, there's grants, and we certainly, you know, see a lot of students doing more and more of that. And then kind of your last option is private student loans. And when looking for a private student lender, there's a lot to look at. There's a lot to consider. And you want to really think about who's going to be the best choice for you based off of, yes, interest rate, yes, repayment options. And then also who gives additional benefits, you know, outside of kind of those standard things. And that's the benefit of going the private student lending route versus the federal route. Like with Ascend, you get free access to coaching and training and job readiness and all of that, which is an awesome benefit, right? That most other lenders don't provide. So just kind of have to like make your pro-con list or however individuals look through those various resources.
Yeah, so it makes sense. So take the free money first, right? Take the stuff that's just coming at you. I mean,
other people's money.
Yep, that makes total sense. OPM, baby. Other people's money. Yeah, that makes total sense. The work study stuff, I've always liked that because they're very aware that you have school and they work around your schedule. Sometimes if you get a job like outside of that, you end up with these situations like I worked at Chick-fil-A and it's like Chick-fil-A doesn't care that when your classes are, right? But if you're doing the work study, they have that. And then the federal student loans, they should take that first. Is it because the interest rate's lower? Is it because they might get forgiven? Why is that?
Yes, to both.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, and then private student loans. So these are the type that, like, when we're talking about forgiving student loans, the private ones are not the ones that we're talking about, right? We're talking about the federal ones, the ones from the federal government.
Yeah, with private student loans, those are external company, you know, those are individual for-profit companies, banks that this is what they do. So yes, most likely, I can't say for certain and for all of them, but those will not be forgiven. And you sign an agreement when you take out those loans, either as a student or as a parent and co-signer, that you are responsible for that loan. You can do it through a lot of different companies through fixed or variable interest rates. So it's important to check on that. You can have a grace period. So after graduation, I know with Ascent, we have a 9-month grace period. So we give you basically 9 months to go get a job before you have to start paying back. And there's no penalties or fees for that. Just interest is continuing to accrue. But if you pay off your interest or if you pay a small amount through school or during that grace period, we give benefits for that. And so constantly looking to help students and parents like overcome these challenges, because we know it can be really hard, of course, and tons of budgeting resources to make sure that you are planning in advance for paying these back when that time comes.
So I know one of my cousins went to physician's assistant school, so she's got quite a bit of student loans. So that's really where some of my experience comes from on that, because I didn't have any. We have something called Bright Futures Scholarships here in Florida that I had. So I know something that she struggles with, because she's got all these different loans, but is the user interface with them and understanding, like, the ability to log in, the ability to clearly see, you know, where I'm at, like, and different like calculators and stuff. And what if I pay this or what if I pay that? Is that something that you guys offer to students?
Yes, we are just all about making this as easy as possible on the students. So yes, there's calculators. Yes, there's ways to like understand what happens if I pay more, if I pay less, what are the different benefits? What happens if I'm paying $25 a month? You know, what are the risks, rewards, et cetera? We have amazing customer service that answers, I think, in 13 seconds. And then we have a really great mobile app with chat and all that to help with any questions, concerns, issues that people are having. And you can pay direct, you know, we recommend just set it up on ACH, on automatic payments, so you don't have to worry about it. And then we actually discount for anyone that has the ACH. But then it's all on your phone or on the computer to see that at any time with a really, I think, good user interface. I've seen a lot of the competitors recently. And ours has maybe too much information, because we're really just always trying to educate. That's where we're always coming from, is a place of like, this is really overwhelming. This is really scary. This is a huge commitment, bigger than your car, possibly, you know, so like, let's work through this together and teach you along the way. Like as we teach our young professionals when they're taking out a loan, we're explaining like not just how to understand this as it relates to your student loan, but how it does relate to your car payment, how it relates to a mortgage or other debt that you may be taking out in the future, and overall using this as an opportunity to upskill and offer financial literacy to our community of borrowers.
What are interest rates like on student loans? I mean, we hear about interest rates. Interest rates are up, interest rates are down, but mostly what we're talking about mortgages. So that's like what we're always hearing, mortgages, like 6.5%, 7%, whatever approximately they are right now. Yeah. What are they like for student loans?
Oh, it's such a huge range. I think on our website right now, let's actually look today, because it changes every day based off of what based off of like what the market is, because when the Fed raises or decreases interest rates, that then impacts what we're doing also. Right. So today for a co-signed loan, a fixed rate would be 4.09%, and then a variable rate goes all the way to 16%. And so that is dependent on your FICO score as a student, your co-signer's FICO score, and then there's an entire mathematical equation based off of your credit history, your income today, your school that you're choosing, the major that you're choosing. Again, we make that calculation public to you so that you can play around with a lot of different, or to students so that they can play around with different schools and what income we think that they're going to get after graduation. So there's a ton of variables that go into our interest rate, and competitors are going to have their own way of doing that too. But that's what's on our website today.
Okay, well, that's lower than I thought it would be. And I understand that there's a range there, but even that being the lowest end of the range, I thought it would be higher. So that's yeah. Nice to know.
Yeah, the new, honestly, I listened to this podcast the other day of how much the negative news on both social media and general news and podcasts, everything, like it's always so negative. And so young professionals, they think that things are so much worse in the economy than they actually are, which actually leads to like less spending and less borrowing and all of that, which then actually does make the economy that much worse. And so it's, yeah, it's just all part of like our news cycle today. So yeah. Thank you for educating people on what's actually going on.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you think student loans just like get a bad rap?
Yes, absolutely.
How do you get over that? How do you get over that? Because like, okay, let's be real. Like my cousin, I don't want to like out her ish too much, but like, let's say physician's assistants, people that she knows in the space, let's say they take out maybe $100,000. I'm just making numbers up. Maybe $100,000 in student loans, but maybe they're very quickly making 130, 140, 150. So, I mean, that's a literal investment with a return. I mean, it's like if you buy a rental property, it's something like that. It's the same idea, right? I'm going to use debt to make more money later. So it in some ways can be an investment, which I think people forget.
Absolutely. And we're not trying to convince people to take out debt because you never want to do that, of course. But we do try to educate students that this is actually the best debt that you can possibly take on. So there is good debt versus bad debt. And this isn't bad debt. This is an investment in you and your future. And that's the way that we think about it also. And that's why we offer these like free education services and all that. Like we are making an investment in individuals. We're taking a bet, just like a VC fund is taking a bet on a company. We're taking a bet on you as an individual that you are going to succeed. And we're going to give you everything at our possible disposal to ensure that you are successful. And so if you think about it like that as a incoming student or as a parent, I was fortunate to not have to take out student loans. And I've said to my parents since I've gotten in the industry, like, that was a bad decision. Like you used all of your savings to send me to school, which I so appreciate. I'm glad that we didn't have any debt. But at the same time, like you could have saved that for a rainy day and taken out this low interest debt, and it could have, you know, we together would have been able to pay it off very quickly. But it could have been a better insurance policy. But
and a lot of people, I think we need to remember, and I know parents are doing this. It's like, I don't want my kid to have student loans, but like, so they pay for all of that, but then they don't have any retirement money. Like you can borrow for student loans. You cannot borrow for retirement because there is no paying that back. Because right. Then you die. Right. So.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So yes, there, I think it gets a very bad rap. As I've joined this industry over only, you know, in the last 9 months, I'm realizing that, wow, this company is mission driven. They have all the right resources for individuals, and it still can be really challenging to get people to believe that like we do have your best interests at heart. Yeah. I get it. It's hard, and it's a lot of debt, and it's an incredibly stressful time of life for both students and parents, emotional too, you know, not just the debt part of it, but it is just an emotional, huge transition in life. And so to add money and stress on top of that, of course. But, you know, we're doing everything that we can to still support the students.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm glad you guys are taking into account. Then there is, let's be real, some benefit to you to knowing what school they're going for, what major they're going to do. Right. And then because then you're more assured that you're going to get paid back in a timely manner. Right.
Well, but and the way that student loans work. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But the way that student loans work is so we don't give you the money. We give the school.
Right.
So we have to know what school they're going to so that we can actually, you know, send it there. The student, the school then verifies that the student actually is attending this school. And that can be a bit of a lag process that students can get frustrated by, like, why am I not hearing back? What's happening? But the schools are actually validating all that.
Okay. Yeah. I meant more so like the approval, like what you will approve people for. I'm like a real estate person. So I'm thinking about it like a house, like you're pre-approved for whatever.
Well, and we vet the schools too, because we won't lend to just any school or any boot camp. We have to be assured that it is a quality education that this individual is going to get that actually does deliver outcomes and does actually, we see people graduate and get good jobs from for a period of time. We have a whole QA team to ensure that.
Yeah, that's where I was going with this is it's nice that you guys have those. I understand the underwriting portion of it and you want to know where you're lending money. So I understand that portion of it. But the other side of it is that should be really like students should be reassured that someone else is like doing like a gut check on this because there are schools and there are degrees that, in my opinion, are not investments. Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
What happens if people don't graduate?
If they don't graduate, they do still owe the loan, unfortunately. Usually they're taking it out semester or a year at a time. So if they do drop out, like it's not like they have 4 years, you know, worth of debt all at once that they've taken out, but they do still owe back the loan. We do have, you know, opportunities where you can call back customer service and work out plans. But we do also have that 9-month grace period to help students until they start paying, until they have to start paying back. So that can be an opportunity to like re-enroll or get a job or, you know, work out whatever needs to be worked out in that time.
Okay. So they could take like 6 months off, re-enroll and then, Okay. That's good to know. So this may be a touchy question, but like, do you think student loans should be forgiven?
I have mixed feelings about it. I do think there's benefit to it. I think the cost of education has just gone up tremendously. And so that can be very, very challenging for so many. I also know that, like, you know, you sign an agreement and you take this out and there's a part that's like you have to have some skin in the game into the invested relationship like we just talked about. So I don't have a clear answer. I change my mind with more information that I get. And I think that's okay. You know, I think we should all just like constantly be learning and consuming information and opinions. And I reserve the right to change my mind.
Sure. Yeah. I tend to be on the side of, you said you pay it back. You should pay it back. I mean, that's sort of how I
buy the school, you know?
Yeah. Right. And it's not like a house. It's not like a car. Like you guys can't possess that asset. Right. You can't take their degree. Like they still kept it. They still have that thing. Right. So that's what makes student loans so interesting as compared to other loans to me anyways.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So you mentioned that when you were hiring these young professionals that they were not negotiating their salaries. Yeah. That's something that I think is a big deal. If people are coming out of school and they have these loans, make as much money as you can, right? Yeah. So you can, you know, pay these things back at least on schedule, if not ahead of schedule. But what are other things that people can do to knock these things out?
But start paying it off early. So $25 the minute you get into school is our recommendation, because then you start getting through the interest and you start lowering the principal immediately. And that is like the best thing that students can do to just, it is $25. You're spending that at Starbucks. So that is hot, absolutely my number one recommendation. And then also just budgeting. So understanding, when you say negotiate your salary, people don't create budgets right away of how much do I need to make to live the lifestyle that I want to live, pay off my debt, live in the house with my roommates that I want to live in, you know, in the neighborhood that I want to live in, go out to dinner once a week or go to this grocery store, whatever it is. Like, you have to actually like put all that together so that then you know that the $50,000 offer isn't enough. And it the sooner you can know that too, the better, because then if you need to change your career path or, you know, what you're going to be doing for the first couple of years post-graduation to get you on that path, you need to know that sooner than later so that you don't say yes to the job or you only negotiate $2,000 up. And then that's still, you think you've made it, you've got your first job, but then that still isn't quite enough to do everything that you need to do.
That's huge. And something that I don't think I hear very many people talk about is start making payments while you're still in school. I think everybody thinks, okay, I'm going to graduate. And then you guys have 9 months. I think a lot of the ones I've heard of have like a 6 month grace period where, get your life together, get a job, do all that, start making money so you can pay this back. I get that part of it. But the idea that sometimes interest is accruing when you're at school, pay it just a little bit, right?
$20, like it's nothing. And even like, you know, that's something that, I don't know, even if like your parents can help with that or other people in your family can help just, you know, incrementally pay that off while you're in school so that you can just really focus on your studies instead of stressing over that. But $25, you can do it.
Yeah. That's what I want for my birthday. I want $25 a month to go to my student loans. How's that?
I love it. That's a great like app that we should create, you know, so you could just have that payoff.
Yeah. Like it's like a registry, but it's like instead of for my honeymoon.
Yeah.
TM. No, I'm just kidding. So Allie, is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
No, it was great talking with you. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for being here. And can you let people know how to get in touch with you and Ascent?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. So that's really my main platform. It's just Allie Danziger. And then Ascent, everything, all the social handles under Ascent Funding. Ascentfunding.com is our website. And if you want to learn more about the training, that's Ascent Up. So ascentup.com.
All right, guys, you can follow me on Twitter at Adulting Is Easy, on YouTube at Adulting Is Easy, or Instagram at Adulting Is Easy Real. If you like this episode, you may also like episode 45, which is about student loans, and also episode 26, going way back. So I'm glad we talked a little bit about how to pay for college today because it's been a while, because this is episode 175. So thanks again for listening, everybody. Hopefully, Allie and I made adulting a little easier for you.